everybody. It is the Just Want to Talk podcast. So glad to have you guys aboard. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's muggy. Maybe not in your car, it's muggy, but I remember the day, all my old cars, except for this one. It was always muggy. I'll talk about that in a minute because that makes me sad. But if you, with no further ado, or is it ado or ado? Wait, hold on. I got to introduce you before we get into this discussion. David Winslow, hello.
Hello.
And welcome in Justin Ledlow. Justin, happy to have you aboard, man.
What's going on?
It's your first time here, man.
It's my first time on Balch, off of Balch Road.
Balch. I've never heard it said Balch.
The GPS said it.
You know what's great? That as people listen to this podcast, we're probably just a few more episodes before people can find out my exact house.
Everybody keeps giving it away.
Well, we got Madison, and then we got off of 72, and then now we got off Balch.
Well, it's like The Simpsons, where they're always hinting which Springfield they're talking about. It's like 1,000 different Springfields in the United States and whatever.
It's like I feel like it would be like Madison seems like a very basic name too. Right. There would be in a lot of places, but
every state
we're
has a Madison.
In Madison, Wisconsin. I just want everybody
go Badgers.
To know, yeah.
Every state has a Madison County. Every state does. It's true.
The bridges of Madison County. Which one? I don't know. It's about a bunch of different places.
There are 50 of them. So
that's all.
We've had by the way on Twitter, the best Twitter account to follow is Epic Comedy Hour. It's the Twitter handle, and that is. Do people say twitter.com/? I think people
I think they just say at Epic Comedy Hour.
People just constantly. Yeah. I've had older people ask or say I'm slash twitter.com/ like Tom Abraham show.
Right. Yeah.
He's like slash.
It's a little.
Give them a web address.
It's almost like being like HTTP.
Yeah. It's a tired notation. You're right.
www.
It's Epic Comedy Hour, all one word on the Twitter sphere. The bio, bringing the funny to Huntsville, Alabama since 2011. So I liked it. That's a good year, by the way. Mm-hmm. 2011, I think, was the first full year for me back in Huntsville after being in college. So it's a good year.
Nice.
I think everyone marks it by that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I did get married that year.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You don't sound happy about that.
Well,
no.
It's been a long time. No. Slash divorce in.
And yeah.
I was going to say, aren't you?
Quite. I'm quite
unmarried?
I'm quite divorced, yes. Now, did you get demarried? I didn't want to say the D word.
Dave, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of you getting divorced.
High five.
High five.
Oh, yeah,
Justin
gets
you can
five
you can do that too.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, no bitterness.
I'd like
here.
To thank
well,
my
I've
family.
I've never been married and never been divorced. So I can't completely empathize with you. I don't totally know how it feels.
It's just a breakup with paper.
Is that in your act?
No, actually.
A breakup with paperwork. Yeah. Justin, one of the, I would like to say, the godfathers of comedy here in Huntsville. Right now, he's in Atlanta.
Right.
But that's what sometimes you do. You build up something, you make sure it's in good hands, and you go somewhere else to continue building. You know, you're just like a builder, you know?
Pretty much, except the only difference being I didn't actually go to Atlanta to do comedy. I went for work. So
that kind of defeats my whole build up there.
I know. But I didn't want to lead you or any listener astray thinking like, well, what's he doing in Atlanta? This must be awesome.
He's building a new baseball park.
Yeah, actually.
For comedy.
I went over there to tell Ted Turner, hey.
You're going
to
move SunTrust Park and you're going to move it right here.
This thing being downtown is not working. So
not SunTrust Park.
Let's move it to Marietta because that's a great decision.
Are you not cool with that decision?
Well, no, yeah. I moved to Marietta a little over a month ago, and I know exactly where the park is being built, where the new Braves Stadium is being built.
What's it going to be called again? I said
it's SunTrust.
SunTrust
Park.
It is SunTrust.
Yeah,
okay.
SunTrust
Park. Good. I was right.
But it is in a terrible location, like horrible location. It's at the corner. It's basically at the corner of 75 and 285.
Yeah.
So as everybody is coming into Atlanta.
It's going to get backed up.
It's going to get nuts. And then not to mention the busy traffic that's already there to begin with. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they pull that off.
Centrally located was the Braves front office's way of it was code for not in the ghetto is what because
right.
They said
centrally located
is code for not in the ghetto.
Is that what you're saying? That's what they said about Turner Field?
Or? Yeah, they said that that SunTrust will be more centrally located.
Oh, okay, yeah,
as opposed to where Turner Field is,
right? And
which
we're
is in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Where SunTrust is going to be, not necessarily in the ghetto, but I wouldn't say that it's like, you know, a lot of people, the terms OTP and ITP get thrown around in Atlanta a lot, inside the perimeter and outside the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So if you're inside the perimeter, you're considered like an intelligent person. And if you're OTP, you're a redneck. And if you're a little bit even further OTP, you're a suburb. So like Alpharetta is considered like the rich hoity-toity area of Atlanta. So where the park is barely OTP, like barely. Mm-hmm. You could throw a rock from the perimeter and probably hit the stadium. So it's not like they made this like huge shift to get it out into like some nice suburb or something. So it's going to be... it's going to be a little weird how they do it, because they're going to have to make like separate MARTA lines to run like some public transportation, like out to the stadium and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm not really a fan, and I don't know what they're doing with Turner Field. I don't know what they're going to do with that big.
I think they're going to turn it into like, just like a beer league softball field. They're wrong. That's probably wrong. I heard they were just
probably get more attendance.
They were just interested in bulldozing the thing.
Probably.
Yeah. You know. It did house the Olympics in '96. So maybe they will keep it for some sort of museum thing or whatever. But
maybe.
I'd kind of doubt it. Honestly,
Coke will buy it and open up a polar bear park or something.
As you can tell, this show is based in Huntsville, Alabama. It talks only about local areas and local people. So we'll keep it local here in Atlanta. Justin, also a very funny comedian. I've seen him several times doing the jokes on the stage. You were last night at Clockwork Comedy.
Yeah.
How'd that show go?
It was pretty good. I think it kind of poured down rain here last night, so that kind of kept a little bit of audience away. But
yeah, it threatened it all day. It seemed like on Saturday,
and then like right at 7:30, 8 o'clock, it was like downpour. So
that sucks. Like bad timing for that.
Right.
Like all throughout the morning and afternoon, the weather was
and then it just completely exploded right at 8 o'clock. We had a guy come up from Birmingham, we had a guy come up from Valdosta, and then me, and then two other guys I know from Atlanta that have been on Epic. But it was a good show. I tried out some new material, did some old stuff. I think I retired a joke. Pretty sure I retired a joke. Just because it's old now. So
which joke? That's not the joke about the cat.
The Grand Theft Auto and the cat. No, I did do that one, but I'm keeping that one.
That's a great joke. Can you tell it? Would it be wrong to tell it like a joke on a podcast? It's really, I think, my favorite Ledlow joke.
So basically, I like Grand Theft Auto, and I still play it a lot because the game is really realistic. And I really like that about the game. Like, you know the little ridges on the side of the highway? So, like, if you're driving and you run, like, you kind of fall asleep and you run over those, shakes your car, kind of wakes you up. Those are in the game.
Really?
Those are in Grand Theft Auto. And I love the idea of some developer sitting around like, we're okay with can we cuss on here? We're okay with hooker fucking and gang banging and bank robberies and everything, but nobody better fall asleep at the wheel. One time I was playing... And I might have been a little high.
Cannot confirm or deny.
I cannot confirm or deny. I was allegedly, that's the key word here. Yeah. I was allegedly high on marijuana. And all of a sudden I heard police sirens in the game and I was driving around. So I pulled the car over and then I started putting actual eye drops in my eyes.
That's a high move. High move.
I looked over at my cat like, all right, be cool. Quit licking yourself. He's going to know something's up.
That's my favorite lick.
That's good.
Police know when cats have smoked marijuana.
That's good.
They know when you've done
it. I've seen it. That was, there was a very well-documented scene in Police Academy 3. Steve Guttenberg.
So yeah, I kept that one, and it's good because Grand Theft Auto 5 just came out on PC a month ago.
Are you a PC or game, console guy or both?
Both. I just got a PlayStation 4 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
and that's been fun. But knowing that like GTA came back out on PC and people are like modding it and stuff, I was like, all right, sweet. I can still tell this joke. This game's been out for like 2 years now, but now I can keep telling it because it's still relevant.
Yeah.
But the other one that I told was about something that somebody put up on the Huntsville subreddit, last year. So now that one's kind of gotten old. So, That's the one I retired.
It's too bad. Do you have a ceremony for it, or do you know this is going to be the last?
No,
time
and I should have said that last night. Like, this is the last time I'm telling this joke, just for the cheap applause.
Yeah,
oh, we saw that for the last time.
Well, as a commemorate this summer. Yeah.
It's like seeing Pryor when he came back from setting himself on fire. Oh, we saw something magical. But
I think when you're doing like a comedy and you go to all the open mics, and for the most part, it's a lot of just the same comedians over and over, especially like in Huntsville, you'll see the same guys over and over again, that you'll get that way jaded about a joke. And then you'll either feel that way or you'll feel that way about someone else's joke. And you're like, all right, I get it.
Well, that was the problem when I lived here and I was doing comedy, was I had such a hard time motivating myself to show up every week and tell the same thing in front of essentially the same people.
Mm-hmm.
So
you won't be surprised when people aren't laughing after the time they've heard the exact same joke.
And
know what you're supposed to do is practice that junk over and over again and get it right.
Yeah. And that's even hard. It's even hard for me to do that in Atlanta, because it's just you're going to get like a different audience just about every time wherever you go over there, but it's still the point of having to tell the same joke. And that just, it's, to me, it just gets so old. Like, I do improv too. So like every improv show that we do is something new, literally every scene. It has to be. So I'm more into that, and I appreciate that more. So when I'm having to go tell the same joke, it's like, oh man, this is just terrible. And so one thing because of that I've gotten into is improvised stand-up, which has been like, I've done that a couple times now, and it's
hell sets and stuff.
Not necessarily the way that one of the guys in Atlanta runs it is he runs a show every Sunday night where all the booked comics have a certain topic that they have to talk about, but then like there's three or four bucket spots. So if you just show up and you want one of those spots, he'll give you a word as you go on stage, and then you have to do like 5 minutes based off of that.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it was all. I got koala, and I turned it into like my trip to the zoo in Atlanta, and then how we don't have a zoo here in Huntsville. So like, I really enjoyed my time at the zoo in Atlanta, and something about like,
sounds like a pleasant story.
Yeah, it was fun. It was very nice. And then
a picnic basket and
because
like, for those who don't know what hell sets are, it's basically exactly what you were basically saying.
Right.
They'll give you a topic. Someone screams topic without you knowing it, and then you have to do your whole set based on that topic.
Yeah, which I would love to do that too. That sounds like a really fun time for me.
I think the local comedian that has pretty much mastered that is Tom Hand.
Yeah, Tom was the one that told me about it, and I didn't know that there was an actual name for it.
Mm.
And then he told me that's what it was called. So I was like, hey, that's cool.
That is cool. Yeah. That is cool. So what else you been up to?
I got a promotion at work.
Wow.
Ooh.
So
what do you do for a job?
I work at an exhibit design company, so we build
like a museum?
Kind of. We do museum quality stuff, but like we build like trade shows and you know, little conferences and events and stuff like that.
Oh, so like if you go to, let's just say, to Probst Arena, or you go to one of the VBC halls, and there's, you know, like all these exhibits for, you know, boat shows or fishing expos or stuff that...
Our main industries are the auto industry and the pharmaceutical industry. So we do a lot of stuff for Mercedes, Porsche, BMW, Mini,
drug shows.
Yeah, and those are constantly. So Philips Healthcare, Stryker, they make medical.
Shocking, they make so much money.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you just get you just get banners. You like make banners and stuff for their stations.
Well, it's a little bit more involved in that, because we do everything custom, like. Custom build like everything that goes into
it. Set design, basically.
A little bit, yeah. Okay. But I mean, I do a lot of. I'm the graphics manager now, so I run the graphics department. So we print anything and everything, and we do vinyl work, and we do fabric, we do a ton of stuff. So,
okay.
I basically got a job offer at Coke, and then I told my current employer, like, hey, I'm got this offer, what do you want to do? And they were like, how about we demote your boss and put you in charge? I was like, huh, okay.
That went better than expected.
I wasn't expecting that, but all right. And I just figured, you know, I'm already used to the company I work for. I know how things go. It would be kind of stupid to pass up that offer. And they offered me way more money than Coke did.
Oh, so. Really?
Nice.
They always talk about how, you know, sometimes you'll get that offer, and then, like, you just go back, and they'll say, hey, why don't you just stay here? We'll give you more money right. and a new title.
Oh, yeah.
But what's that like when you're getting back to the previous person who was like, hey, we had an offer? What do you say? Like, hey, sorry about that. Didn't mean to lead you on there.
You mean like
when you
talking
went back to Coke?
Oh, to Coke? Oh, like, I talked when they gave me the offer, I said, let me talk to my company and see what they want to do. Because I had a feeling that they would either offer me more money, but I didn't really think that the promotion was on the table. So I went back to Coke and was like, hey, you know, I appreciate the offer. I'm glad you guys, you know, liked me and everything, but I'm going to stay where I'm at. You know, they've offered to give me the manager position here, so I'm going to take that. And then the dude that I interviewed with over there emailed me the next day and was like, hey, do you have anybody that you can recommend? And I was like, so you didn't go with anybody you interviewed wow. at all. You wanted me. And then when you didn't get me, you wanted me to tell you who to hire.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And I didn't have anybody. I told him, I was like, man, I don't know too many people over in Atlanta. So,
talk about
really,
an ego boost, man.
It kind of was. It kind of was a little bit. But everybody was really happy about it at my company. Like they were all just like, finally, this is great. Because my former boss
was
in every not sense of the word. he just wasn't manager quality. So I mean,
I know those types.
Yeah, I mean, he knew like a lot about graphics and printing and stuff, but he didn't know how to lead people. So
he was like the Pompeii of leadership.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah,
he was the Hitler.
It's like that was awesome, but you killed a lot of people. And I don't. I mean, as much as he's killed people, I don't know why he's still not in prison.
Yeah.
That was a joke, but not a good one.
Mine wasn't a good one either.
About the Coke
we were
place?
Trying to save.
No, I was talking about my former boss, who's now my employee, which is very weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
That's
yeah.
got to be a fun relationship.
It's.
Now.
I mean, everybody's been like, "Well, how's this been going?" And it's like, "Well, I mean, as good as it can for a dude who pretty much had his job taken by somebody half his age." So yeah, it's you know, what do you think?
He has to burn the place down. If that's what you're asking.
Yeah. And then he told my now boss, like, you know, I'm afraid what you guys are gonna do is just phase me out in 6 months. So he's like. Like shaking in his boots, like
high alert.
Just like trying to, you know, keep a low profile and keep his job. So
if I don't make too much noise, they won't know any years yeah. I retired.
Be like the guy on Office Space with the red stapler.
I'll burn the building down.
Set the building on fire.
I have some stories. You guys want to talk?
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm getting married in October, and yesterday I went to go get my tux fitted, and that was an awesome experience. Basically all I really did was chose a tux and I went really fast, because Mrs. Arkey was with me and she was like in freak out mode because mm-hmm. like I saw the two I was thinking about and I was like, all right, and go with that one. And so we sat down to start, just go ahead and make my deposit, tell everybody my name and all my groomsmen names and stuff like that. And then he had to go help someone else real quick. And she looks at me, she's like, are you okay with that? I was like, yeah, I picked it. She's like, just thought you'd want to take more time with it. It's like, nope, good by me. She's like, perfect. Are you sure?
I mean, it's fine. Like that much, especially if it's just coming down to two of them, you've probably already got your mind made up.
Yeah, like, I think it kind of comes down to what the difference between like, because technically she was there for hours choosing her dress. But she ended up going with the first one that she tried on. So, I was just like, beep that noise. I already know what color I have to have underneath.
Yeah.
Plum, by the way. Now all I'm doing is just choosing a gray suit.
Yeah.
Boom. And by the way, when I thought tux, I was not expecting like suit tux. Like I was just expecting like what you see like all kinds of like proms and stuff look like. I was not expecting there to be like a suit looking tux, which actually
top hat and cane
looks a lot nice. Yeah. That option, like tail feathers.
Tail feathers.
Yeah. Velvet lining the insides.
That's what I was expecting when I went in. It's like, I actually just basically just suits. It's like, I'm in.
Got the pocket watch.
That's crazy.
Let me tell you my next least favorite thing is that she's got a rager for me to try on and have a bow tie. And I'm not about bow ties.
No. Yeah.
Especially since my neck is not bow tie friendly. So
I can barely do a tie. Like, it's just having something like pinching your Adam's apple.
It does wear on you after a little while. You swallow and you feel it. Like,
yeah, yeah. I went to a wedding last Saturday just as a guest. Like, me and my girlfriend went, and there's some friends of hers over there. And I just had like a dress shirt and pants and like no tie or anything, rolled my sleeves up and everything. I wore Converses. Like it was just like, I'm going to look okay, but I'm going to do this on my terms. And like I get there and all of our friends, all of our dude friends have ties on. And like, and I looked at my girlfriend, I was like, should I have worn a tie? Like I'm the only person here without a tie on. But no, I like after like sitting, cause it was outside, it was an outside wedding. So after being out there for like 30 minutes and everybody's like soaking wet, sweating,
oh, yes.
I was like, oh, I feel great. This is that,
that was David's wedding. David got married in July.
Yeah.
And outdoors. Like expected a fat guy like me to not sweat in a suit and stuff for like 4 hours.
Yeah. What's a good lube for taking it off?
Yeah, that was easy. And I guess good. I didn't have to wash it. Someone else had to deal with that. But still, the guy actually asked me, he looked at me, he said, are you going to want a second shirt? I was like, oh, I think I should be insulted. I'm going to want a second shirt. Like, how much is that going to cost?
You're not doing your wedding outside, are you?
It is outside.
Yeah, oh, okay. But it's October. Yeah, you're not going to be too
there's
bad
a
then.
Decent chance that it could be warm, but it won't be scorching.
Yeah, that'll be pretty good.
The only thing we're really worried about is rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but she keeps giving me this about this whole tie business. I have lots of ties. I like wearing ties. It's just not bow ties.
Yeah,
and I think bow ties are, no offense to anybody who likes to wear bow ties, I think they look childish.
I'm gonna go ahead and say offense to everybody who likes a bow tie, because those are some pretty dumb looking things.
They really look
like, I can't look at one and not think of Pee Wee Herman.
Like you,
so, that's a good point.
You may as well put on a clown, like a red clown nose when you're wearing it.
It's like, or like the bow tie should just say, look at me. That's all you're doing is saying like, yeah, I wore a bow tie. I'm different.
I expect to be able to reach over and like flick it and spin it
and
around.
Spin it around.
Like, hold on.
Yeah,
hold on.
That would be
yours
fun.
Yours doesn't do that?
I can just imagine you walking up to the altar and then the minister's just like, hang on a minute, I got to do this. And then like flips your bow tie.
Like, how'd you know that one?
Did you guys see Jenkins? He didn't have a spinner.
Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to watch this man's bow tie twirl around.
Oh, I hope we got video of that. Otherwise, this is a waste. But like, bow ties just look silly and stupid.
Yeah, I
hate skinny ties too, for that matter. Mm. I just like a nice normal ties.
Yeah.
A little.
How do you feel about suspenders?
I'm okay with, give or take, depending on what, like, if as long as I don't have to wear a belt, which is a reason, then I guess I'm okay.
I don't know, suspenders to me
Is belts more, though, in general.
Yeah, I think belts are a little classier.
Suspenders to me is one of those things, it's been adopted by hipsters, and it's just been, like, it's like, you see, like, the swole bearded dude with his sleeves rolled up wearing suspenders, and it's like, dude, no, you could just wear a belt. Like, you don't need suspenders.
I feel like suspenders are a half a step, maybe a full step above becoming old dude, which means like I'm a half a step above wearing those things on my legs to hold my socks up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I feel like I'm one step away from that. And like I'm just like, just get throw in the towel. Just say no to youth. Like I don't mind becoming an adult. I just don't want to do it all at once.
Right. Yeah. Let's do it gradually and like, ease
I'm
into
not,
it.
I don't need to pencil in some gray in my hair around
my
skin. Let it come. Let it come. It'll be natural.
How old are you?
29.
I turned 29 in July.
So. Oh, my God.
Who are you?
I am 28. I turned 29 in December.
Gotcha. So we're all in the same
pretty
boat.
Young. Yeah. We're all babies.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, when you
get the big 3-0 coming up, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know what I decided? Speaking of 3-0, it's not really birthday. It's more like bachelor party. Have you seen Bubble Ball? Do you know what Bubble Ball is?
No.
Bubble Ball is, have you seen those giant balls you can get in and roll down a, like a hill?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except for, You get in, you put your arms in it, and it's like one of those just smaller type balls. It goes all around your head, all around your upper torso, and stops around your waist, and your legs stick out, and then you can run around
and knock into
people.
Yeah,
I got
it. And so, like, if you get knocked down, you basically
get up again, and never gonna get
and then you're pissing the night away.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you get hit, you basically just bounce back up.
Yeah, it's just something like that. I saw that at the Hammers game, I think it was last week.
Nice.
And it's like, it's basically set up little small soccer nets or something. I'm sure you could do, I guess I don't know how many other things. You can't do football.
Oh, I see that, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that'd be a great bachelor party thing. Instead of like hookers and strippers, which I guess we could still get strippers for.
Yeah,
that.
Totally.
Yeah.
We could have
strippers to play with us.
Yeah.
But I think.
You can't do blow
in those, though. Just put them naked. Just put them naked in a bubble and like.
You can't do blow in those. There's a halftime.
There's a drawback to everything. You can't have everything.
There's a zipper in front of your face. You just zip it and stick your head out and do a line. And then
the bad thing is there's only enough room to get a straw through.
Sometimes that's all
a rolled up dollar bill.
Rolled up
hundred. It needs to be a rolled up $100 bill.
I'm excited about that though.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good idea. Yeah.
I'm inviting you, Justin, to Bubble Ball.
Bubble Ball.
Yeah, we play Bubble Ball. That's what it's kind of nice. Like. I put it on Instagram and like Bubble Ball USA followed me after I mentioned it.
Oh, nice.
Wait, is there a game attached to this running into each other? Like,
yeah, because what was the net that was on there? Is it just like a little
soccer net that you can buy?
But can you use your hands in the game?
No, your hands are completely engulfed in the ball.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So I thought they're right in front of your chest. Like you're holding on to things, I guess, that way your arms don't flail on.
Yeah.
But it's got like a little handles inside of it. And then basically your whole balance is really just your torso, just how well you can do it.
Yeah.
And I loved it because you basically can just, and if you're not trying to be skillful, you really can just attack people.
Yeah.
You just run in and knock people
right.
out. You're just like, this guy's trying to play the ball. I'm just knocking him out.
Nice.
You play the destroyer.
What if though, when you get hit and like you get knocked on the ground, that thing pops as soon as you hit.
Oh.
And you just slam into the ground.
Lawsuit, man.
That's going to take a...
This is where my mind goes with these things. I'm immediately thinking about the worst possible thing to happen. Because when you said that about like the your arms hanging out, like the first thing I thought of was somebody falling wrong and their arm like snapping.
Yeah.
Oh, that would
like
that
Anderson
would
Silva's leg just like in a 90 degree.
I'm in on this stuff. Bubble ball, we in? Yes, good.
Totally. Yeah,
I think so.
Down like a clown.
We need a big enough space, and then we got to find the strippers. But that can't be that hard.
No,
they're all over Governor's Drive.
And also up here on 72, there's a Jimmy's, which, by the way, I used to think when I first moved here was a barbecue place. Because, you think like Gibson.
It probably is. It's a combination.
Somewhere it is. Yes. Yeah. Eat barbecue and watch some horrors.
You want a pork plate? All right. Well, how do you want? Do you want some food too? Okay, that's kind of.
Mrs. Arkey had to tell me, "Hey, that's actually a strip club." And I was like, "Ah, it just seems like a barbecue place."
Yeah.
They have a marquee out there, but it doesn't say, "Hey, we got boobs in here."
I actually open
at 5 or something.
Dinner only. I made a reference to Jimmy's last night, and no one laughed, and I was so mad. I was like, I thought you guys would love a local reference, and nobody. I was like, fine, because I was talking about a dog that we used to have when I was a kid, and her name was Brandy, and I was like, don't ask me why my parents named this dog after a stripper. Maybe they had a family friend that worked at Jimmy's and like nothing. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Should I have said the pony or something?
Maybe something a little more central to hunt.
Jimmy's has always been like, ever since I've like lived here, Jimmy's has always been like the joke. The pony,
I didn't even know that.
The pony has been like
is that high scale compared to Jimmy's?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. I guess.
Really? Have you been to
Jimmy's? It's about as
David's been to all the joints around here.
I have.
Especially during the divorce.
I've also delivered pizza to, I think we go to three. No, I guess we just go to two.
You deliver a pizza to a strip club. This just sounds like a porno.
I've delivered a pony.
Really?
It's weird. It's weird to walk in.
I remember
there's a guy wanting like me to pay a cover, and I'm like, what do you think I'm in here with the pizza?
Do you think I'm in costume for some reason or other?
I'm delivering these, and then I'm just going to hang out.
Yeah.
So
I'm delivering these, and I'm actually going to perform. See, this is my costume that I'll strip out of.
I remember I was 18 delivering my first strip club. It used to be, Cherry Pit used to be Dave's Dream Girls, which I think
sounds
hilarious.
Oh, my God. I remember. Oh, wow.
Now it's called the Cherry Pit, which is gross.
Where is that at?
It's up at 53. A little free plug. It's Highway 53 near the intersection of Jeff Road.
Okay. I kind of remember.
But I remember going in there, and I was nervous as hell because I'd never been in a strip joint before. And I think they have to wear tops. I think they have to wear at least pasties there. I'm not sure. But
really? What?
What's the fucking point?
Yeah. We have the internet. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to be honest. Like, I've never been to a strip club. And have no interest in going for that very reason, because I'm like, what's the point of this? Because, if I want some vagina, I'll just go get some. In my other earlier days when I was an asshole.
Technically, if you you talk to the right person.
But I mean,
for 20, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. and like you're saying, we have the internet and we can just find whatever we want. And I can keep my sweatpants on and not wear them to the, because that was a whole joke that me and my friends used to have, was that we would eventually go to the strip club and then we would all go in sweatpants. Mm-hmm. And just, it would be like a challenge to see like who would be like an obvious boner in front of me. So, but we never did.
There's something about strip clubs, I don't know. Usually the people who are there are there. There's a lot of creepy vibe going on in there. Yeah, a lot of discomfort. I did see strippers at the Pony one time that one of the ladies wasn't getting off stage fast enough and like taking this next girl's stage time, and they got in a big ass cat fight right there on the stage, like almost falling
that's
off
money,
and shit.
Man. That's
yeah,
money.
And oh, yeah, just like, yeah. The dudes are just throwing bills at that point.
Oh my god, it was hilarious. Like on one level, I was like, "This is really sad." On another level, I was like, "Yeah."
Thanks for going away from the mic on that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's a good heads up. When I went to deliver that pizza, the dollar bills that I remember, her name was Cindy.
Of course it was, yeah. With an I, yeah. C-I-N-D-I.
The heart dotting I.
The dollar bills were moist and crumpled, which just, I'm guessing they were moist from oil. That's what I prefer to think.
Yeah.
That's not
instead
true.
Instead of what it like, might be.
I was like, these aren't fresh from the ATM, are they? And they don't give out ones, do they?
Honey, we don't know what fresh means.
My first strip club experience was I went to New Orleans for New Year's several years ago, and it was really weird. And I'm not a good person to take to a strip club ever, because I'm lucky I'm getting married now, because I don't know how I'd ever date again or how I even dated before, because I don't think I deserve to ever have, you know, talk to a girl the way I talk. Because I remember going to this strip club, and it was sort of just off of Bourbon Street, and it was just one of these hole-in-the-wall kind of places. And the friends, I went with three other girls, which is weird. I was like, dude, I could be the sausage on this ride.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Nothing. Anyway.
You got to balance it out.
A lot of mistakes I made in my day thinking that I would get further than women. Like, I was a mascot for high school soccer, for the girls' soccer team, thinking I would get somewhere with a lady.
Pussy magnet.
Didn't happen.
This nothing, deer costume.
Not even a little. Yeah. I was like, this is the magnet. I look like a deer. You want some, right?
Furries.
I'm so dedicated that I will ride with you in your car to a soccer game. And sweat through a deer
and
costume.
Put a costume on so you don't have to actually have to look at me.
Is there any other reason for you not to love me? So I went to the strip club, and one of these girls bought like the lap dance that I was not interested in, and she was basically instead of lap dancing me, which I think is how it's called, she just comes to the edge of the stage and like she's just like gyrating in front of my face, and I'm looking over at the other two girls who are like, yeah, Arky, and I'm just like, hey, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying out loud.
Look at how cool this is. Yes.
I'm half a step away from like, this is nice.
Look at how much fun we're having.
This is a good time. Yes. Enjoying my time here. I am.
Just very matter of fact.
Matter of fact. And I didn't like it because I was like, oh, this razor burns. Like, this is just rough. This is just rough. It didn't help that her bosoms were actually like the shape of like, you know, Madonna's comb bra.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Oh, wow.
It was weird.
Ugh.
You ever been to the Cheetah in Atlanta?
No.
Oh, that's
heard,
what you said. You've never been to
them. I've never been to any of them. And, you know, everybody in Atlanta, everybody goes to Claremont.
Oh, really?
Claremont Lounge. Because Claremont
is they don't have bottoms. They don't have to have bottoms.
Claremont is not classy at all. Claremont is considered like the pit of all strip strip joints. Claremont has like midget strippers every now and then. They have pregnant strippers.
Wow.
They have pregnant midget strippers. It's considered one of those things, like anybody who ever comes for a weekend in Atlanta to like party, it's like, oh, dude, let's go to Claremont and basically go to a train wreck. Let's just go see this horrible thing that we can't look away from.
Wow.
And that's one of those things that's just never piqued my interest, because I like good looking women. So that is the kind of thing that I want to see. So I've just never wanted to go. But the Cheetah I've heard a lot about. And then there's another one. I think it's called the Pony. I think it's called. I think it's like
maybe it's a chain. Who knows?
It could be.
The
could
pink
be.
Pony is a chain.
Oh, nice.
Okay, then
I know
it might
it
be.
A chain.
Yeah,
it's at least there's at least seven of them. I'm not 100% sure. I technically, my brother went and apparently frequented these places and got me like a free pass, which I think is still in the office. I can go look at it, and like it just says free entry to the Pink Pony, and it has like on the back like seven places or something wherever it's at.
And there's no expiration on it or anything.
No, it's just
wow.
I'll go look at it and see if you just give one of you guys because I don't know how I'm ever going to use that.
Yeah, like it's not my favorite kind of place.
Like I've gotten to the point where like in my relationship that like I don't know how you could ever get away with anything. Like I do like a trivia night at Rugby's bar here every Wednesday night, a sports trivia night. And like there just for a couple hours, just covered in smoke, just smell like smoke.
Yeah.
I can't like I do the same thing when I go to Maggie Myers to do open mic comedy. Just covered in smoke. So yeah. I imagine if you go into a strip club even for 20 minutes, you'd just be covered in stripper smell.
Yeah.
Like I don't even know what that is, but like it'd be an immediate tip off.
It's gotta be a very noticeable smell. It's the smell.
How do people
of,
get away
it's
with
like
anything?
Perfume and sweat.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably fried chicken. Probably a little
no
bit.
No need
fried
to bring
chicken.
Race into this
and booze.
Oh well, you heard it here on Just Want to Talk.
We're just getting along fine. All of a sudden, Justin had to bring up. It's fine. Yeah. Whatever. Had epic comedy hour.
Bomb. Hey,
I guess they do things differently in Atlanta. Yeah,
yeah they do actually. They do a lot different over there.
Before we get to, I got a thought on cell phones coming up. Justin, you were one of the helpers and what should say helper? That's probably not the right term. Founders of Epic Comedy Hour and such, and how that got started back in 2011, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Because that's I think considered basically the Taj Mahal for stand up here in Huntsville. That's the stage you want to get on. Epic is really like. That's the stage you want to get on if you're doing comedy in Huntsville.
Right.
So how did that get started? How were you guys able to get that theater and really turn that into the premier show?
So basically, I had kind of started doing stand-up around here the year before, just like kind of on my own. And then I met Tom and I met Stephen Claybrooks and a couple others. And then we were going around to like,
Tom Hand, who's been on the show before. You can listen to the episodes, rcuchet.com. Subscribe on iTunes for free.
There you go.
Way to squeeze it in there.
Just real quick. We started doing open mics around like music open mics. So we would drop in and do like, you know, a certain, you know, 20, 30 minutes whenever the music acts were taking a break. And then that January of 2011, there was a like atheist like meeting thing here in Huntsville that me and Tom went to. I think that's when I met Tom. And Paul Provenza, who used to host a show on Showtime called The Green Room with Paul Provenza, he was one of the speakers. And that first night of the conference that weekend, I met him and told him that I was, you know, trying to start doing stand up and everything, but there wasn't anything here to do anything. So I told him about that. We talked about it for a while and he was like, "Hey, why don't you do 5 minutes in front of me on Sunday when I go up?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." You know, here's a guy who's like a industry like legend. He's not totally well known mainstream because he's never really had like an album and he's only had like a few TV appearances. He produced the Aristocrats documentary about the Aristocrats joke. Okay. Him and Penn from Penn and Teller, they put that together. He's done a few other things. He created Setlist. That comedy show. And then, like I said, he had that show on Showtime. So, you know, that Saturday I like wrote some stuff, put some stuff together. And then that Sunday went up and did it and everything and did okay. I mean, the audience was, you know, a kind of a big scattered conference room downtown. So the room was kind of weird, but the audience was receptive and they enjoyed it. So we talked afterwards and I kept telling him like there wasn't anything to do here in Huntsville as far as comedy goes. We didn't have anything going on. And he was basically like, "You got to get it started. I mean, if you really want to do this, then you just need to start something. You can't wait on anybody else to try to get it going." So I think like the next day I emailed Low Mill and said, "You know, I know you guys have the Flying Monkey Theater. Do you think that we could rent that out for a night and have a show?" They did not get back to me until June. I didn't hear back for like 5 months.
Wow.
And in that 5 months, you know, we're going to, you know, Humphreys and doing spots, Partners and doing little spots. And by that time, it was me, Tom, Steven, and then maybe, you know, four or five others in Huntsville. So June comes around. They finally email me back and say, hey, we got July 15th open up. Do you want to do that? So we do that. And it was like all of us who'd been running around doing open mics. None of this stuff had been tested. None of our material had been tested in front of a legit audience. Hmm. So we took like a big gamble on this, and so did Low Mill. So they gave us that Friday night. We advertised it, you know, organized it and all that stuff. Ended up having 258 people show up, wow, which was like, it blew my mind. That night was such a success. I wouldn't say our comedy was that great, but I think everybody had fun and thought it was, you know, something different. So that night was such a success. They pulled me to the side. Low Mill pulled me to the side that night and was like, hey, we got August 18th opened up. You want that? Mm-hmm. So it went from like, oh, I have to wait 5 months to get a date, and then now I can just get one immediately because you saw what happened and you saw how it worked.
Nice.
So we got
did,
that.
Did you originally have the BYOB concept to bring your own booze?
That's Low Mill. That's not me at all.
But
that's,
I mean, like, were you originally telling people you could bring your own beer?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think it was on the poster. Because, you know, I'd gone to Low Mill like back in like 2005, 2006 to go see like some buddies of mine do like music. So I knew that they had that up there, and I knew that it was BYOB. But so, I mean, that, when this whole thing came up with like, we need to start something, that was, they were the first people to come to mind, because I thought no one is going to be able to accommodate as many people as we need, or as we want to have show up, and no one's going to be like a cool sort of interesting place as this is to try to make a show. So we did that August, and then we did that September, but that September, we got booked on a Saturday night instead of a Friday night. And that Saturday night was Alabama versus Arkansas. So hardly anybody showed up. We had like 100 people, and then we were like, we will never do another Saturday show ever again. This was a horrible decision. Now, as far as college football, it's hard to – sometimes you're probably going to be up against a fairly important game that some people are going to want to see.
Oh, yeah. It's so just, it's impossible on Saturdays right here to do anything that's not – so centric around football.
Yeah, so we, I mean, we obviously, we try to keep it to Friday nights now instead. So in 2011, we stopped in September. They didn't have any dates available for October, November, or December. So we came back January of 2012, and we had 388 people show up. And it was literally like sardines in that theater. Like, you were crammed like shoulder to shoulder to people. And then like after that show, they were like, yeah, we can't have that many people anymore. We're gonna have to cap you at 300 from now on. So I was like, all right, cool, that's fine, whatever. So those first four shows were totally local people. And then in March, we had our first batch of Birmingham people come up. And then in April, our first few Atlanta comedians came over. And that's when everything pretty much exploded, because all the Atlanta guys went back to Atlanta and told everybody over there, like, hey, you got to go to Huntsville and do this show. It's, you know, it's so awesome. We had such a fun time. And I started,
you had to
getting,
have like lots of people like contact you, like, hey, can I get on the show?
Immediately. Just like constant, just, hey, I had Tushar Singh, who's one of the guys that was in Atlanta. You know, he told me about the show, you know, I want to come over there and do it, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, okay, let's, you know, start scheduling people. So we started booking, you know, kind of months in advance at that point. And then that, it was that June or July. I think it was that June, I got offered the job I'm working now in Atlanta. So I moved to Atlanta then. And when I left it to Scott Eason and Tim Kelly and Jason Steinhauser to run it. So, and then of course now Jason's not on the show and Jonathan Craig is. So that's pretty much how it got started. I think I've lost my train of thought.
Did you notice or did it get feedback, because by the time you left and you guys basically, you had one show sort of really during football season, it was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Do you notice that like there is a difference in audience as far as the numbers even during football season for a Friday night?
You mean like now?
Or even in the early days, like when you're probably checking back in, trying to get feedback, like how to do this week, how to do this month.
Right. Yeah. Month. I think now it's fine during that time of year. Our audience isn't totally, we have a very weird demographic.
In Huntsville,
In Huntsville in general, but the people who come to Epic, because I've seen old gray haired ladies in the audience, and then I've seen like young like college age girls, and it's just like this is not like I can't put my finger on who is our audience, and it just seems like it's everybody, because a lot of the times the shows are so the comics that are on the shows are so different that. Yeah. Somebody's going to like some comic.
Well, it's interesting that also that I've noticed that even the difference between people who go to the different shows, you do just as much Facebook inviting or throwing it out on Twitter and just trying to get the word of mouth out. But even if you just go from like at the sports page with Enter the Comedy Drag, it'll be so different than a Clockwork Comedy. It'll be different from an Epic Comedy Hour. It'll be different from a homegrown comedy. It'll be just, there's so much variety as far as who you're expecting and who you'd be like, okay, well, even in the numbers turnouts, you could tell that, Epic is the deal and everything else sort of falls in line sort of behind it. And there are good nights and bad nights for everybody, obviously, but I mean, it's interesting just to see the shows basically try to perform and try to do well against each other and what kind of crowds you get and what types of crowds you get.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do. I think it has a lot to do with advertising and how we market it. I do all the posters for Epic. I design all of them.
You still do that?
Yeah, and I've been told, by plenty of people, oh man, these look awesome. This is great.
Posters are beautiful.
And they, people have told me like this is part of the reason why we wanted to come. This looked cool and everything. And I've tried to tell some of the other guys, like, if you want me to help, like, make a poster or something, don't hesitate to ask. I'll definitely do it. Like, I made Clockworks for last night. So it's something that I think is like important to kind of get out there and make that distinction of saying like, yeah, this is a comedy show, but it's cool. Like, it's, don't think that this is just going to be a bunch of idiots on stage that are just trying to tell you jokes. And, with us, Epic's kind of gained the reputation of we're pulling in regional comics now. We started getting regional comics back in 2012. We're doing like national comics now. Like, this coming Friday is the next Epic, and we've got a guy on from Los Angeles. Matt Ward is coming back from North Carolina, I think, and he's actually going to host. Tim Kelly can't make it, so we're going to let Matt host, which is that'll be a first for us, is letting somebody that's not a Epic team member host the show. So I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to turn out. But Matt runs the Cape Fear Comedy Festival up in North Carolina, which Scott just did. So
Scott
Eason. Yeah, so he
had
he
him
just,
on the show. Same thing.
Has he? Okay, cool. Yeah,
argyshay.com.
There it is. I stepped on it a little bit there, but yeah. But yeah, Scott did his festival, and he just kind of suggested if Tim can't make it, let's just have Matt host. So. It's definitely got a reputation to it. And it's, when I hear things like, you're talking about how everybody has like these ups and downs as far as audience come out. We had 110 people come to last month's show. And like I said, we've had almost 400 one time, on average 200 to 250, I would say is a good average. So when I hear that we have 110, it scares me a little. But what's worse is I don't live here, and it makes it even harder because I'm not here to,
you're not tuned in. Your ears aren't on the ground.
So. Right. And I have to basically rely on Scott and some of these other guys to tell me the pulse of Huntsville's, events, not necessarily just comedy, because I got to know, like, what are we up against? So,
That Panoply weekend.
Yeah, last month we're up against Panoply and two other, nationally recognized comedians coming through town. That does kind of sting a little bit, but we can't help stuff like that. So
do you worry, and I worry about this, and I've talked to David about this before, Do you worry that as far as the type of scene that Huntsville is, that with all the shows that are out there, not just the shows, but like the open mics, there's pretty much something every day of the week, you know, mm-hmm. Monday's Maggie Myers, Tuesday, I think it's Hooper's now on Moore's Mill.
It was Partners, but I heard Partners closed.
Yeah, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is Copper Top, the longest running one, and Thursdays is, what is Thursdays? Thursday's Club Burgo.
Okay.
Club Burgo, yeah. Now next to IHOP off University.
Right.
Plus, like you're saying, this Friday's an epic comic coming out. Saturdays, then, a couple Saturdays, their Clockworks.
I think this Saturday is Brew Stooges. It's coming Saturday.
Yeah, so, do you worry that, like, we hit the point as far as we could be oversaturating this area?
You know, it's funny. Since I got in town Friday.
When I hear about the low turnout numbers, that's the part that scares me about it.
When I got here Friday, you know, we were kind of talking about that to some other people, and you're like the third or fourth person this weekend that has mm-hmm. used the term oversaturation. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely possible. I think right now, with the amount of comics that are in Huntsville that I know of, and the audience interest, I think one open mic is plenty. Some of these other ones I don't really think need to, either they don't need to be, they should probably just be showcase shows instead of open mics. But I do understand too, it's hard to foster new talent if you only have one night of the week that you can do an open mm-hmm. mic, because how are you going to get these other people to come out if they don't have a night of the week that they can do it? Mm-hmm. And you know, this might come back to bite me in the ass saying this, but some of the quality of the shows could be a little bit better too. And I know that's, you know, that's me. And I may be an asshole for saying that, because I've run Epic and I have a way that I like to do things, but that's one thing
You've seen the show that you built. You saw at its peak what it could do. And even when you're just talking average, you know, you see the kind of quality, because I don't want it to be out there to say that, you know, the guys around here aren't funny, because these shows they're really funny.
Yeah.
It's just as far as when you're asking people to, you know, come to a show three nights a week, and they're not comedians, especially even if they are comedians, you know, like, this isn't everybody's got a day job, got bills that they have to pay.
I don't have like $100 a month to go. I don't even have $50 a month to go around to each show, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean? So it's something I like to do to support, but it's tough sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely there's definitely a lot going on, and it's just everybody is so. The comics are so hungry to just be on something.
Yeah.
And you kind of can't control. I can't get on Epic because they're booked for the rest of the year, so I'll just do my own thing. And then you mm-hmm. have, you know, a show that starts, and then a comic who maybe start coming to that show, and then they think, well, I can't do this, so I'm going to start my own thing. And then it just mm-hmm. spins off, and it just starts going out of control. You can't control that necessarily, but I think at some point there's got to be, you know, someone who says, we are kind of oversaturated, so I'm just going to do my part and show up when I can and do what needs to be done, because the eagerness of some of the Huntsville comedians doesn't match Huntsville's desire for comedy. Mm-hmm. They don't equal each other.
And so I think that's why when you created Epic that it was filling a void.
It exploded because there was nothing else going on. Yeah. So with it being the only thing.
Open mics that were really kind of just music open mics.
Right.
The time before, I think Copper Top became the first one.
Right.
That you could get, you know, some of your time that way to sort of build stuff up if you didn't want to go to Chattanooga.
Well, the funny thing about Epic, we went around to some of these little music open mics and did, you know, some jokes and stuff. But those first four Epics, well, actually, I would probably say the first five Epics, I had a new set every month because I had to. Because that first Epic, I did all those jokes, and I thought, okay, well, if we do one next month, I can't tell any of that stuff I just told, because we're going to get some people coming back to see the next one, and I definitely can't be up here saying the same thing. So then I had to have, like, a totally different set. So I did that for, like, the first five shows. And then, you know, after that, kind of dipped into some older stuff. But you know, now I kind of feel like you could potentially do some of the same material and not have to work on some material either. And kind of back to what you were saying, the best thing that I think some of the comics around here could do if they need to work on material is get out of Huntsville, go to Atlanta, go to Nashville, go to Birmingham, and do some of these other shows and other open mics, and get some other kind of perspective on you know, some of the material you got, because a lot of these guys are really good friends. And they're not going to give each other the kind of feedback that they need because they don't want to hurt their feelings. They don't want to, you know, cause any bad blood. So it's almost like they need to go and be in front of an audience that is not going to give them any sympathy and just will flat out say, like, that
you could think
funny.
A joke has hit its wall. And then you only tell in front of other comedians who've heard it 1,000 times, you go into fresh ears, you get them to laugh their butts off. And you're like, oh, I forgot that was funny.
Yeah.
Because no one laughed at it for the last 2 months when I was just telling it for the same.
Or vice versa. You know, you can tell something that's so inclusive to you and your group of friends and they kind of understand it. And then you go to another city and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, all right. That's the feedback thing that you need. That's why when people go do these festivals, or even like I said, Chattanooga, I'll have theirs, I think twice a month, I think, or maybe once a month. I think it's twice a month that they'll have an open mic. Birmingham will have it every now and then, and Nashville will have theirs as well. Atlanta's will have their open mics too. That if you can afford to just get out there and just sort of get in front of somebody fresh or something, I think Chattanooga does theirs like on a Thursday. I think a lot of places do theirs like on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, Atlanta has an open mic every night, and there's some nights that are, you know, there's 2 or 3 open mics in a night. Atlanta, I honestly believe Atlanta is probably the best city for anyone in the Southeast to go to if they are serious about wanting to be a comedian, because you can grow there and then you can decide, okay, do I want to go to LA or New York after this? I can't tell you how many people I've met in the past 3 years who were working Atlanta comedians and now either live in LA or New York. Jake Head, Mike Albanese, Gilbert Lawin, Ben Evans, Noah Garden Schwartz, a bunch of these guys who've been on Epic, you know, worked their asses off in Atlanta and became very well known and then left. And that's what you got to do. You got to start someplace that is a good community and then see where you're at and then decide where you want to go after that. And everybody's always told me, well, I've kind of heard, you go to New York if you want to be an actual stand-up comedian. You go to LA if you want to be a comedian / writer / actor. So you can pick wherever you want to go, but you gotta at least get to a point. Like I hear about people who you know, might be from a place like Huntsville or somewhere else, and they're just like, yeah, I'm gonna move to LA and start doing stand up. Good luck, because you are gonna be at the very bottom for a very long time because you have no experience, because you came from a city that just doesn't have a scene. And I think we have a scene, but it's almost like only us know about it. I think a good portion of Huntsville knows about the comedy scene, but not nearly enough. I think there's still a giant amount of Huntsville that still is just like, Epic Comedy Hour, what's that? And they have no idea, which is unfortunate. But it's, you know, I told the guys when we first got it started a long time ago, you know, if Huntsville, because everybody's like, we don't understand why Huntsville doesn't have a comedy club. If Huntsville wanted a comedy club, somebody would have made one. Somebody would have one by now. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's this mysterious thing that somebody can't get their mind around.
It's like nobody's thought about doing this yet. Yeah. I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. So, and then you do it. And so it's kind of, to me, it's a no-brainer. But at the same time, I do think Huntsville's just still not, they're not convinced. Not completely. Not yet. So, I don't know. We'll get there.
Yeah, I think even at the very beginning stage, I even had a conversation with David. It's like, This could this be something sustainable? Could we do a comedy club here? And I think the short answer now is no.
Yeah.
The I think the better answer is maybe technically, but you'd have to really create a good room.
Yeah.
And by good room, I mean not a big room, so you probably wouldn't make your money back.
50
probably,
seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For it to be like, yeah, it cannot be a big room. You cannot have those expectations.
You couldn't have a bar.
All your money all your money would have to go to the comic that you're trying to bring in.
Paying utilities and paying the comic. Yeah. And you would not make any amount of money, you know, for the first 2 years.
You would really have to do it out of the love of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For a while.
And, you know, I've always thought, you know, since I do improv too, I wouldn't, if I had the money, if I had like just this unlimited supply and could open something in Huntsville, I would just open a theater, like a multi-purpose kind of thing. So we could have stand up, we could have sketch, we could have improv and just keep it all under the same roof. And that way you have the option to do more shows. You could still book a comic for, you know, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday run.
Yeah, and like a theater troupe could come and do a play or something.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Rent, and that was another thing too, rent it out to people who might need to use that space.
Yeah, if it's just stand-up, stand-alone, it's probably not
Yeah, stand-up by itself. Well, no comic is going to want to come here because if they're looking
to play in front of 21 people,
right,
max,
when they could be doing Zanies in Nashville or Laughing Skull in Atlanta, they would much rather do a weekend run.
Unless your guarantee was like a huge number.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which, and that's the thing. I think early on you'd have to get names that people would come out and buy for. Your guarantee to these guys would have to be so just silly just to even convince them to think about Huntsville.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Chris Titus was in just doing a college show, but he was doing college shows. Right. He was in Athens, Georgia, and went to Knoxville the next night.
And when you do a run like that, you know, like, okay, these one-nighters that I'm going to do, you go into it knowing this might not be great this night, and it might be awesome two nights from now when I'm in Athens, or something like that. So it's.
Well, I followed his Twitter, and apparently the next night in Knoxville was really, really good.
Yeah.
Huntsville, not so great.
Didn't say anything about it. Yeah.
No.
That's when you
crowd
can always.
The crowd that did show up was really, really good to him, and he was really fun.
But when you're looking at that many empty seats, it's very disheartening.
It was less than half.
Yeah. And that's
and
the
it's
kind
only
of thing.
A 400 seat place. So you're talking about like. You're saying it's kind of like just like a multi-purpose lecture hall, you know, so to speak. So.
Well, you know, when Scott and I were talking about, you know, 110 people showing up last month for Epic, you know, he's saying, you know, that's still pretty good. That's a good number. It's a good number considering everything that was going on. And I said, yeah, but that's a lot of empty seats too. So when 110 people are in that room and they're all spread out among 300 seats, the energy of the room is off. And the comics are looking out and they're seeing all these empty seats. They're not having as much fun as they could. And it's what bugs me is that we've gotten so many comics come and do sell out shows. And then they go back and they tell all their friends, and then their friends come and they do shows for 100 people. And then they go, well, okay, that wasn't all that great. And no one's actually said that, but that's my paranoia. You know, as a showrunner, just thinking like, well, did they really enjoy it, or they want to come back? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's all things as far as if you're considering running a show of that kind of magnitude. That you know, these guys are obviously hearing good things, and they show up and they see 110 scattered among 300. It doesn't look like there's 110 people there. It looks like
there's
40 people or something like that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got something for you guys. It's called Audible.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/JWT. These guys help pay my bills, so please go to them. audibletrial.com/JWT. Over 180,000 titles. That's almost 190,000 titles for you to choose from. Put that on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. audibletrial.com/JWT. That stands for Just Wanna Talk. Justin, this has been an awesome time. I really appreciate
it. No problem. Good to come on.
Good to have you on. Now,
good
before
to be here
we
in Bouch.
I hated it.
before we say, because the next time someone's going to tell the actual street name I'm on.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be the number. So eventually, probably by late September, it would have slipped out. Where exactly.
You want me to just go? You want me to go ahead with it right now? Just to
you're
rip the Band-Aid
off?
You're
going to have to move by the time you get married.
That's a good point.
He has a mailbox.
I'm going to come back from my honeymoon and be like, so why has the house been egged and spray painted intact? Before I want to ask David about his show. He did a show Friday night at Tim's Cajun Kitchen with Dustin Warden.
I was there for that. Well, I was there for like maybe the last 15 minutes. I showed up.
Yeah, I noticed he showed up. Yeah. I was like, when did he get here?
I snuck in real quick.
Yeah.
How'd that show go?
It went pretty well. It was a fairly low turnout, like it's one to do right now during the shows. But it was a responsive audience. There's a handful of non-comedians there. I had some friends from school, and everybody was pretty responsive and seemed to really enjoy the show, and everybody was funny. So it was a good show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, let me ask this to both of you guys. Does it feel worse on a show when, like, you get a bunch, you can get a significant number of people, let's say at Tim's Cajun Kitchen, that could see, what, if you push it, 50, 60 people, somewhere around there, that if you get 45% of that, 60% of that is comedians. Does that feel a little less to you guys that like you're just doing this in front of the same people again And it's just like, yeah. Why aren't more people that aren't just comedians trying to get into this?
Yeah,
it's nice to see people just in the seats and mm-hmm. and money yeah. in the bank, but
Performing, like, you know, they call that, you know, performing for the back of the room because yeah. the comics are always in the back of the room and everything. Mm-hmm. I hate it. You know, it wouldn't bother me one bit if, you know, any epic I ever did ever again, the only people in the audience were non-comics. I can't stand performing in front of other comedians. It's just, yeah, I just hate it.
Yeah, I guess I'm still fairly green as far as it comes to feature shows and what have you. So whenever, no matter the size of the audience, no matter who's in the audience, if it's a feature show, I'm just like geared up. I'm ready to go. But I can totally understand where you're coming from, though. Yeah. Like, I could see it happening down the road if I ever get down that road.
Like, just open mics in Atlanta, you know, all the comics are always out working on their stuff. So when you show up to do it and you see nothing but a bunch of other comics, you're like, well, I'm not going to get any feedback from this tonight because these dudes just flat out don't laugh based off principle. except for there's some, and there's this one dude in Atlanta, and I'm not going to say his name, but I don't like him. Okay. from the get-go when I met him, he was at an open mic and he basically like sat in the back of the room and was just like, and it was like, are you mocking me right now? Like, what is the...
It's mechanical laughter.
The more I've seen him, the more I'm like, oh, he actually just laughs like that. Like, that's just a weird thing. But then, like, he went after me on an open mic over there one time, and I made a joke about my cat, and then he goes up on stage and just look. I'd already gone and sat down, and he looks right at me and goes, yeah, I have sex with my cat too. And I wanted to be like, that is not even remotely close to what I was talking about. And it just seemed like a dig. And it just, there's so much of that. Like, there's a lot of comics who are just competitive by nature, and I get that. But to a point to where you're rude to each other makes it very hard to get on stage and look out and then just see a bunch of comics. So, 'cause then you just feel like you're being judged every word that you're saying.
Yeah. I guess the spirit which that was intended was probably not a dig.
Yeah. But I didn't know this guy. Right. I didn't know him that well at this point. And then now I kind of know like, okay, he was just messing around. But like, I guess from his point of view, it's just kind of irresponsible to see, like, here's a new person to our scene. Mm-hmm. I'm going to completely fuck his world up right now and throw this at him.
I could see that. Yeah. If you're going to dig on somebody, make sure it's really funny.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Or come up to me afterwards and just be like, I was just messing with you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then be like, oh, okay, cool. I got it. But
something condescending about that, too.
Yeah. A little bit. Hey, man, then you're just like,
I was just kidding. Go just get a tiger.
You don't understand humor, huh?
Yeah.
Ugh. I'll never truly understand. Like, I get why there's just a general competitive nature when it comes mm-hmm. to, you know, there's only so many slots that are getting paid big bucks to do comedy, and everybody's trying to fight for those spots. I just never understand that. All right. But there's a lot of spots paying a decent amount of money for people. So there's a lot of comedy venues that need guys. So. Mm-hmm. Just do your comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walk away.
Yeah. A healthier frame of mind is to just work on your stuff as best you can, and somebody's going to ask you if you're good. You know what I mean? Theoretically, hopefully, if you're good, somebody's going to ask you.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting asked and you think you're really good, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you can do at that point, but all you can do is internalize and try to do the best you can some more.
Yeah, I think if you've been doing it for any length of time and you're not seeing any response in the audience, any positive response, and you're not getting asked to be on shows, you kind of have to just take a step back and go, all right, what am I doing wrong here?
Right.
And if you're doing stuff that you like doing but nobody's laughing, maybe you just shouldn't do stand-up, because if you have the type of sense of humor that you're dead set on doing jokes about but nobody's laughing, mm-hmm. then you're honestly hurting yourself by being a little delusional, and then you're hurting everybody else by taking up time where they could be up there actually entertaining a crowd. So
and it's hard to.
So what I'm basically saying is, if you suck at stand up, please quit. Please quit. Just quit.
Makes it easier for everybody. One less person.
Yeah, exactly.
And it sucks when you hear these like few and far between success stories. Like Mitch Hedberg was a very slow starter in this in his scene. Like cleaning the floors, nobody was laughing, sort of stuff. But he exploded and is one of the most famous comedians. You know,
you know, Lewis Black didn't really have a career until he was 50 something.
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield. Rodney's probably the best example of it. Mm-hmm. You know, no one knew or cared who he was until he was like really old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of some others, but yeah, there's plenty that just, you know, that took them some time to figure it out. And if you feel like dedicating your whole life to figuring out how to be a comedian, by all means do it. But, you know.
Well, and think about all the comedians that you may go see at clubs that you've probably never heard of, but are really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And like, there's a guy who's just in Birmingham, James Gregory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude's hilarious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I never seen
never
him
heard
before.
Of him? He is a,
I,
he's
I never
a comedy
seen him
legend.
Like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came to the Stardome, and I was like, has no one know about this guy?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of comedians that are like that they're super funny. We've had them in Huntsville a lot. Guys that have an hour of just tight, funny, super good comedy.
And not even, like, the ones that have come and done Scott's show are, you know, they've all been on at midnight. Well, not all of them, most of them. They all have done some of the bigger clubs, like in Atlanta or, you know, some other cities and stuff, and trying to like tell
the guy
people,
that does
like,
the epic rap battles or
yeah
or
yeah
on one of those, right?
and say like, you know, this person's been on Conan, this person's been on Letterman, you know, and to say all these things to Huntsville, a lot of times Huntsville's just like, okay, great, I still don't know who that person is.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not gonna come to the show. Well, I feel bad because they're missing out on some good shows.
Mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, the comics that Scott's brought to Comedy Dragon. We've had comics at Epic that, you know, Andy Samford, he was on last year on June. He did Conan the other night. He's from Beards of Comedy. He's been on Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Mm-hmm.
So guys like him, you know, Gilbert Lawland, Mike Albanese, some of these others that have opened and worked for, you know, the Laughing Skull in Atlanta, the Improv in Atlanta, they have like a lot of credit to their name,
they have chops.
But they're not a household name, right. So nobody knows who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we film things. You know, we film it, we get a clip, and we put it up to say like, hey, we know you don't know who this person is. No one knows who, you know, Max Fine is, or no one knows who Mo Aurora mm-hmm. is, but you should.
And the way our brains work is like, Michael Jordan's going to be out shooting free throws and everybody would come.
Everybody would go. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he might not even be doing anything special. He might have like a you know, Mickey Mouse helmet on or something. And you would still go watch him and you might not even get to see who it is. But it's, I don't know. I'm more about promoting a good quality show than I am the people who are on it, because I've seen what's happened. I've promoted a good quality show that I believe in and know that it's going to be funny, and I've watched these people gain followers because of it. So like Martin Morrow, comic up in Chicago, has done Epic twice now, and then a girl that I'm friends with and went to high school and middle school with went to that show the last time he was here, and she texted me, and I wasn't in town, I was in Atlanta, and she was like, this Martin dude is hilarious, and then now she's like a huge fan of his. And that's the kind of thing that I want to accomplish, is be able to say, look, I know who this person is. I know you don't know them, but let me introduce you to them so you can see their act. And then they see it and they love it and they're just, you know, hooked after
Huntsville
that.
Huntsville is a place that I don't think is anywhere near soon becoming a major city for comedy. But it's a good place and a great place for like grassroots type comedy. That guys that you may not know, but trust, if you're singing on some of these shows, that they're going to be worth your time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we are the those of us who run it are so invested in the comedy world. If I had anything that I could say to the potential audiences of Huntsville, it's just believe us when we say that these shows are good, because we're booking the people that we know are funny. You know, we're not trying to waste your time. Mm-hmm. You know, so we know these people are
funny.
Think
about the business model that would be if you're trying to waste
your
time.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you who knew them on one show and
or,
then they never come back.
Or if I just started booking random people who just asked me, hey, can I be on Epic? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. sure. And I've made a few mistakes booking people who should not.
It was an off night. I was a little drunk.
Yeah. I booked one person solely one time based on the fact that I found out that she did improv. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. She did improv. She did it in L.A. And I don't know if she'll ever listen to this, or if anybody else who knows who I'm talking about might figure this out. But I can say this because she bombed. Well, you know, she didn't really represent herself well to me when all this was happening. And then she goes up and she bombs. And I'm hearing about it. I was in Atlanta. A friend of mine texted me and was like, yeah, the girl on the show, not good. And I felt like terrible. I was like, I just booked this person solely based off of her, you know, presenting this improv thing to me and being like, all right, well, so then she's probably funny. No video. She hadn't been showing up and doing open mics around here. So I screwed that up, and I know that. So, you know, we've definitely since then, like, tried to be way better about a vetting process. Mm-hmm. If somebody messages the Facebook page or emails us and says, hey, I'd like to get on, first thing we say is, you know, you have some video. If we don't know that person, if we know them through other comics who've been on the show, we can go to those comics and be like, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? And if they recommend them, then yeah, we'll put them on. And we have like a pretty good network of reliable comics at this point where we can do that.
Is Justin Ledlow at Epic Comedy Hour on Twitter is the great place to follow, and also just keep up with the shows that are happening every month here.
And epiccomedyhour.com and facebook.com/epiccomedyhour. We are going to make a pretty nice announcement soon. About what we're doing for the anniversary show in July. So we're going to make that announcement, I think, the week after this coming week.
Well, I'm so. Going ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I will be doing an underwear set.
Oh,
show up to do my underwear. Those are fun. Those are interesting, by the way.
That was really fun. Yeah, that was last year's anniversary show, and that was,
which is the sets where you get people to come out in their underwear,
right,
and do a set,
perform in their underwear, and
it's I know it wasn't first done by Epic, but it's the first time I'd ever seen it done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Joe Pettis. You know, he's a comic out of Atlanta, and he runs the underwear comedy show, and he like tours with it and everything. He was here last night on Clockwork. He started that thing like 2 years ago, I think. And I did it in Atlanta before we did it for Epic, and like was kind of nervous. It was like the first time I'd been nervous in a while.
Did you book anybody based to help
on their bodies? Kind of.
Well, no. Not based on bodies, but like
turn people away because of their bodies. Yeah.
Well, two of the things I probably would have gotten to, but that's interesting. Also, did you have people that were going to be on the show that like weren't going to be comfortable with that? That you had to be like, maybe we move you to another date since we're doing this for. Or did you specifically?
No, we specifically booked that show saying, hey, we're doing Epic underwear comedy.
So it wasn't like you had the show booked and like, hey, let's see if they'll do it in their underwear. So
well, we got all the Atlanta comics that were on it had already done it. They'd already done underwear in Atlanta, and that was kind of the whole thing. Was I told Joe, like, we'll get some people that I know have done it, and then we had three local comics here that I asked them, like, hey, I want to get you on the anniversary show, but we're doing it in our underwear. Are you okay with that? And that was Stephen Claybrook, Sam McElroy, and then this other girl. I can't remember her name. What's her name? You were with her,
JC.
Yeah.
Or Isabel Franklin.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was on it, and it was one of those things where I just told everybody up front, like, hey, if you're not comfortable doing this, then, you know, we'll just...
Even though you knew what it was going into it, it's a little still disarming. Would you sit there and someone's walking out in their underbridge?
Oh,
you're
All
right.
I remember I had to kind of chill her out.
Really?
Yeah. Because like it was
she did great though.
Yeah, she did
really well. Mm-hmm. She was a last minute one because we had a comic from Atlanta back out because she had some other scheduling conflict, and then we got in touch with that girl and was like,
but it
hey.
Wasn't because of underwear.
No, it wasn't because of that, but we talked to Isabel and was like, hey, tomorrow night, do you want to come stand in your underwear in front of possibly 300 people? And she was like, yeah, sure, no big deal. I was like, all right.
Yeah, she like when the show time came and stuff, and I didn't know if I was gonna be able to get in the show, I ended up like sitting against the back wall.
Yeah.
Because and I felt terrible. Because I didn't realize it was gonna. I at this point I didn't know how quickly it could sell out, and I was still at work up until like the you know what I mean. And she's just like, I have nobody here for me, kind of thing. And she's so
panicking.
I thankfully you helped me out a little bit by getting me backstage calm her down a little bit.
A lot
brought her some Heinekens.
A lot of local comics' goal is the Epic Comedy Hour, but my goal is the Epic Comedy Hour underwear show. It's a comedy goal and a workout goal.
Banana hammock.
Well, you know, we're not doing it for this year's.
No, I mean, I don't want to be like fat on there. It just gives me a workout goal that lose weight to be in shape enough to you see what I'm saying.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
But yeah, stay tuned to the Facebook page and the Twitter page because we're going to make that announcement pretty soon. And I'm very excited about what we're going to be doing. I think it's going to be a very, very fun show. Nice. It's going to be very, I'll drop a little hint. It's going to be very nerd specific.
Okay.
Very nerd
specific.
So any potential nerd audiences, you know, be paying attention.
We don't have that in Huntsville.
None of that. None of that's here. Crap.
I'm surprised that, like, just a one of my, like, the first two shows I went to, like, I think there were comics, like, doing jokes about, like, Battlestar Galactica, and, like, everybody was, like, laughing. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
How the, where does yeah. everybody know this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he is Justin Ledlow at Epic Comedy Hour on Twitter, the Facebook page, and EpicComedyHour.com. David Wenzel, CD_Dubs on Twitter.
Correct.
Facebook page, David Wenzel Art.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you're correct. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying anything else. I'm just confirming.
You
that,
can
yeah,
add.
Correct.
You can add.
I can add. Oh, well, too. I mean, yeah, the art page, if you ever want, I do commission work and I can do logos and what have you. Just hit me up, I reckon.
Digital and drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thrown any of your digital stuff up?
I actually have not. Maybe I should.
I hosted that bake sale, comedy bake sale, the at Straight to Ale, and you did the flyer.
I did the flyer for that.
Poster for that, and that was cool. So.
And then I actually, if you look at the little icon on the, if you're listening to this podcast, that's my work as well. And I also did your logo for your radio show.
For the sports play, also on archishade.com as well.
Yeah.
All right, I guess this is going to do it for us. Everybody go home.
Sweet.
Bye. Bye.